Hey everybody, look on the screen here behind me and you'll see these words, that the healer still heals. We're going to talk for the next 2 weeks specifically about this subject in anticipation for a friend of mine, Jay Hoskins, that will be with us on the July 4th weekend, Sunday, July 5th, as Al said a moment ago, at our morning service, and then a special service on Sunday night at 6 p.m. Jay has had some phenomenal healings and signs and wonders just in his meetings, just preaching the Word of God. I mean, just recently last week, people that had cataracts in their eyes, they were gone. People that had degenerative disc disease, the pain left the people. I mean, just some amazing, amazing, amazing healings and miracles. And so, in anticipation of him being here in 2 weeks, what I want to do is I want to use this Sunday and next Sunday, and I just want to stir us up in belief that no matter what you're facing in your physical body, or no matter what seems degenerative or broken or out of sorts, no matter what report you've gotten, I believe that today and next week, if you'll come to church, you'll be open to what the Word of God says, that you'll just hook your caboose, if you will, up to the train of Jesus and believe the Word of God, something is going to start happening in your body. Your expectation level is going to start going up. Hope is going to rise. Faith is going to rise. And so when he prays and or before that time, I believe healing is going to start manifesting in your body. We believe the Scriptures, what talks about that Jesus not only was your sin substitute or sin sacrifice, he also, that same sacrifice, was so that you and I could have wholeness in our bodies. Wholeness in our bodies. So no matter what you've experienced up until now, maybe you say, man, gosh, you know, Pastor Gary, I've been battling stuff for 15 years. Okay, good. Okay. But that doesn't mean that that's the way it always has to be. Or I believed before and nothing kind of happened. Okay. I get it. Let's just forget all that and let's approach this again like kids that we've never heard it before, and let's just be open to whatever it says. Because if we believe what it says in here, and I believe you're here today, and probably almost all of y'all pretty much believe what it says in here. Anybody out in the room out there today? Pretty much believe what it says. And so if it says it, let's just believe it. And let's expect it will happen for you. Because nowhere we're going to find in the Scriptures today about what we're talking about was anybody perfect. Nobody was special. No case was so unusual, so extraordinary. No person was such a good person or a perfect person that they could work or earn or be right with God to deserve it. It was based solely upon Jesus' call, solely upon the goodness of God. And we'll find out next week that the payment was already made for everybody, and Jesus just hands us the keys and says, this belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. Deliverance belongs to you. Not having to deal your whole life with pain belongs to you. We're going to do something today I've never done before. Is it hot in here? No, I'm warm. Can we turn it down? Can we turn up some air or something? I don't know, man. Let's get the cooler going on. Man, I'm telling you. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to start in the Gospel of Matthew. And we are going to read every healing scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, it's not every healing scripture in Mark, Luke, or John. John's got about three specific healing scriptures that are not covered in the other two. But what I would encourage you to do is get out a piece of paper, get out your phone, your notepad, write these down, do something, and jot these scriptures down. Because I believe that when you hear these scriptures and you just refresh yourself, and maybe you've never heard them before, that again, your faith level, your expectation level is going to rise, and you're going to see that if Jesus did it for them, come on somebody, he's going to do it for me. Let's start in Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Mark 4, 23. And Jesus went into the synagogue, Jesus went into all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness. What kinds of sickness? All kinds. And all kinds of disease. What kind of diseases? All kinds. Among the people. Then his fame went throughout all the Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases. What kind of diseases? Various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. All kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Whoever showed up that had anything, it didn't matter how long they had it. It didn't matter where it came from. It didn't matter the start of it. It didn't matter if it was there and it left and it came back. Whoever had whatever, when they showed up with Jesus, the Bible says he was preaching, he was teaching the kingdom of God. So part of the kingdom of God is not only that Jesus saves, but it's that Jesus also heals. Heals. He doesn't heal spirits. Spirits must be born again. He heals bodies. Great multitudes, verse 25 says, followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, the 10 cities, Jerusalem, Judea, beyond the Jordan. Chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him. You might want to write that down. Worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Notice what happened with this leper. He came to Jesus, worshipped him, and he said, I know you can. He said, but I don't know if you're willing. Because the question was, Lord, if you're willing, I'm just not sure of your willingness to heal me. I'm not sure of your willingness to help me in my problem. Now, I know you are able. You're God. I kind of see that. Maybe I've seen what you've done to other people. You can because your track record's out there. Evidently the brother might have heard about what he did in Jerusalem and Judea and the 10 cities and anybody with various sickness, anybody with any kind of disease among the people, anybody that had anything, they got healed. So the brother had some faith in who he was, but he just didn't know, will you heal me? And forever, Jesus stamps it, not only for him, but for all humans, you, me, everybody, every race, every age, any generation. He stretches out his hand to a leper, and you don't touch a leper, but Jesus stretches out his hand, and he says, be cleansed. I'm willing. Be cleansed. Forever settle the subject that God will heal you. Chapter 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, a commander, pleaded with him, saying, Lord, my servant is at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. Come on, somebody. Only speak a word. And my servant will be healed. I don't need you to come to my house. I'm not worthy. You don't need to do all that. Just speak the word. Come on, just speak the word. Jesus, I just need a word. I just need a word. For I'm a man under authority, verse 9. I have soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Notice the response here. When Jesus heard that, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Jesus equates great faith not with being a Jew, not with being a Gentile, not with being a man or a woman. Jesus equates great faith with someone believing in the power of Jesus' spoken word. I don't need to go to Sunday school for 5 years. I don't need to pass out tracts. I don't need to show up and have stickers on my wall that all the accomplishments I've done. I don't need to know the books of the Bible. I just got to believe in the power of the Word of God. Just speak the word, Jesus. You don't need to come to my house. Where you're at right now will change the situation back at my house. Jesus says, my gosh, I mean, he marveled twice. Listen, he marveled on two occasions in the Bible. He marveled with great faith and he marveled with doubt. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure Jesus marvels with great faith. How about you? I don't want him sitting there going, dear Lord, Gary's been around here how long? 35 years? When's he going to get it? Notice what happens here. Starting in verse 13, he said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Come on, one more time. Go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Come on, we're reading too slow here. Come on, everybody, say it out loud. Go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Come on, one more time. We're doing real good. Come on. Go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Come on, just one more time. Make the devil nervous. Go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Mark that down, stamp that. That's what's going to happen in your life. When you believe God, go your way as you have believed, it's exactly going to be done for you. Healing. Healing. Look what it says in verse 14, chapter 8, verse 14. When Jesus had come to Peter's house, he saw that his wife's mother was lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. I just think that this is kind of a really humorous kind of two scriptures that was kind of like just thrown in the midst of a child here, you know, servant that's paralyzed, a servant that's dreadfully tormented just a couple moments earlier. And the very next phrase in Matthew, we've got just a mom with a fever. Come on, she's got 103 degree temperature. And I know in the Bible days, I know back there, you know, how the medicine we have, and people today still die of fever. I get all that. I get all that. But I think it's really interesting that Matthew records just mom-in-law. Peter's mom-in-law had a fever. She had a migraine. She had just a small thing compared to maybe a different kind of level of sickness or disease or epileptic or paralytic or blind or mute or can you know just skin disease, leprosy. No, but she's just got a fever. She's just got a fever. Maybe she's going to get over. Maybe she just needs to step back. Maybe she just needs some cloth on her head and cool her down a little bit. Maybe she just needs to go dip in the Jordan, just kind of get body temperature down. But Jesus is concerned about the very little thing in your life that's paining you in your body. And so don't think about anything in your life, well, I just got to put up with this because it's just not that big a deal. Anything that's bothering you is bothering Him. Bothering him. Look what it says in verse 16 and 17. There's several here. We see four illustrations in chapter 8. When evening had come, they brought to him, meaning Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. We'll talk about this specifically next week. But Isaiah, Matthew looks back. And now remember this now. Jesus called Matthew. Matthew was a follower for 3.5 years with Jesus. So Jesus is crucified. Jesus leaves. Jesus goes to heaven. And years later, Matthew's writing this down, right? Matthew's writing 28 chapters we have. You know, he's writing down all the miracles. He's writing down all the stuff. He's collaborating with other disciples, what they heard, what he said, what Jesus said. He's writing it down. And we got it right there in the book. We got it right there. And so after it's all done, after it's all said, Matthew's coming down to this instant. And he remembers at this time that they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he spoke the word and he healed all that were sick. And so he remembers this was spoken by Isaiah 600 years before Jesus showed up, that he is going to take our infirmities and he's going to bear our sicknesses. And if he did it then, Matthew's writing, he's going to do it today. Chapter 9, verse 1. He got into a boat and crossed over and came to their own city. And they brought to him a
paralytic on a bed, and Jesus saw their faith. Had some people that helped this guy. He said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And one of the scribes, the religious men, said, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, the paralytic, "Take up your bed, go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Interesting scripture again. Jesus tells the guy that's paralyzed, Jesus is God. Why did he say this? I don't know. But he says to the guy, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Evidently, he had been battling in his mind about something he had done, maybe that brought this into his life. And Jesus just says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." All the religious people, "Who's this man think he is?" Then Jesus uses that to say, the same God, me, who forgives sins, is the same God who will heal bodies. If you believe that Jesus is the resurrected Christ, and if you believe that Jesus has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you believe that one day you're going to be with heaven, with God in heaven, then you need to believe that that same God who will get you there will heal your body here. Regardless of what's happened up until now, let's believe. Let's believe. Notice what it says in chapter 9. Where were we? Chapter 9, verse 1 through 8. Look what it says in verse 18. "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him." A ruler. Second time we see someone worshipping. That's a key. Write it down. "My daughter's just died. Come and lay your hand on her and she'll live." So Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, as they're going, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But when Jesus turned around and saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith," come on somebody say, your faith. "Has made you well." Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. So her faith in who Jesus was, Mark's gospel says, she kept saying, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. I don't need him to come to my house. I'm going to press through. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I don't need a hug. I don't need 5 hours. I don't need a counseling appointment. I just need to touch the hem of his garment. If I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made well." She said it. Her faith was released, and she got exactly what she said. Now, while all that's going on, remember, the Bible says here, there's a man, and he's in a predicament. This ruler says, "My daughter's died." And Jesus is on the way with this brother, and this whole thing happened with the woman with the issue of blood. And the Bible says this, when Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. All the, quote, friends were already there trying to comfort the family that the child had died. And Jesus says, "Make room, for the girl's not dead but sleeping." How many know that's a statement of faith? Come on, somebody. "And they ridiculed him." People laughed at Jesus. "And when the crowd was put outside," come on, Jesus got everybody outside the house. He got all the flute players. Come on, he got the mariachi band outside. Say, "We ain't doing that now. Y'all don't believe. We got to have some believers up in here." So mom was there, dad was there, dead girl was there, Jesus was there. It says Peter, James, and John were there. That's all that was in the room. I want to make sure I'm in that company. Come on, somebody. And you and I get in that company if we'll believe. But it's like Jesus would just say, "Well, y'all just step outside. Just step outside." And there's Jesus, and look what it says here. When the crowd was put out, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and the girl rose up. And the report of this went out into all the land. I told the first service, I like this story because I found myself, and I think all of us can agree with this. We go through life, and it's like, I find myself like this situation where Jesus is here with this man is just coming to my house, and we're on the way, and while we're on the way, it seems like stuff just stops. It seems like stuff stops, like Jesus, like it's just stopped, and there's a situation that he's dealing with the woman. Now you're the dad, your daughter's dead, and you're wanting Jesus. You've come to him, and you're knowing he can do what he can do, but he's just not moving fast enough. Things just aren't happening fast enough. You got the report, and you believe, and we're a church that believes in healing. We're a church that believes Jesus forgives. We're a church that believes Jesus heals. And so maybe you've got the report, and maybe somebody prayed for you, and it's like you're believing, but you've come to this place where you've stopped. Jesus has stopped, and he's dealing with the situation. This man, we find no record in this dad, this man, that says anything contrary. I'm sure that he was anxious. I'm sure he was saying, I wish this woman wouldn't have showed up. I wish Jesus would just keep coming to the house, because if he comes to the house, I know that my dead daughter is going to be okay. But it's like it stops. Hear me. The dad is patiently still believing. Let me just throw this out to several of you in the room today. No matter what it looks like, don't disagree with what the Word of God says, even though you haven't received your total healing yet. Even though it doesn't look like Jesus is at your house yet, the manifestation is there, you're pain-free, or you got a different report, your blood sugar went down, come on, you can hear out of your ear again, or whatever it is you're dealing with. Don't disengage. Just keep staying close to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, just stay close to Jesus. Wow. Sure enough, that little girl was resurrected. Look what it says in verse 27. Matthew 9. Jesus departed from there, two blind men. We doing all right, everybody? Huh? Come on, I'm doing the heavy lifting for you today, right? I'm giving you all the scriptures. All you got to do is write them down. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and said, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. But they departed and spread that news about all around, it says. Again, we can read that real quick, but come on, y'all know a blind person is blind. A blind person needs someone to help them see where they're going. Fall off the end of a stage. I need somebody to help me. So it says they started crying out to Jesus, and it actually says here that verse 28, that Jesus just went into the house. And the blind men came to him. The blind men didn't come to Jesus by themselves. The blind men came to Jesus with the help of some friends. And we pick up from here where Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be to you. What faith? The faith that keeps coming to Jesus even when Jesus leaves your midst and goes to the house. They kept following Jesus. Keep following the Word of God. Keep following the power of the Spirit of God that's released in the Word of God. Keep letting your faith grow, and don't quit following, double negative, following Jesus. Allow your faith to rise and just say, I don't know what's going on right now. I feel like I'm blind. I feel like I've got no answers. I feel like there's no change. But one thing I'm going to do, if he's in the house, I'm going to keep going to the house. And maybe you need some good friends. Hey, pray with me, man. I'm kind of battling some stuff right now. I got a little doubt in me. Well, let me take you by the hand and let me just keep marching you toward Jesus. Because Jesus will change your body. Notice what it says in verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute, demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this. Never seen like this. So we see here something really interesting.
we see that there was a demon that possessed a man, and the manifestation of that demon in the man was that the man couldn't talk. And so there are instances that we find that there can be demonic opportunity from the enemy that invades lives, generally, listen to me, not a believer's life, but somebody who has opened themselves up to crazy stuff, occultism, or whatever we see in our generation, that they've opened themselves up and there's a demonic influence, oppression, could be possession, and resulting in here that this man was not able to speak. On a side note, a little different note, just work with me, we see that the Bible says when the demon left the man could speak. He could speak. Can I tell you something, just a side thought for you and me? The devil is after your tongue. He's after your tongue. Because the Scripture says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. That the Scripture says, Jesus said, you can have what you say. And so the enemy wants to get our tongue locked up to what we feel. He wants to get our tongue locked up to what's the history of our generation, about what's gone on for generation in degenerative diseases. And we go to doctors and the first thing they've got to fill out is those 18 pages of everything that's wrong in your family tree. And they say, this is in, yeah, you're going to have it too. You are going to have what you say. Make sure your tongue is hooked up to the healer. Can I get a better amen up in here? Don't stay hooked up to pain. Don't stay hooked up into what somebody else has. Stay hooked up to what you have, what you believe in the Word of God. Verse 35, Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness. Here it is again. Every sickness and every disease among the people. Every. Chapter 10, verse 1. Here's where the plot thickens. It leaves Jesus. Now he's getting ready to go to anybody. When he called his 12 disciples to them, he gave them power. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and to all disease. So now Jesus says, this is just isn't for me, this is for you. And we find out in verse 7 and 8, it says, go and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. And this is exactly what they did. This is exactly what they demonstrated. Jesus gave them authority. Jesus, we would say, gave the church authority. Then the church now is a dispenser of this healing power. Not because you're good enough, not because you've been around long enough, not because you're on the in crowd. No, just because you're a believer, God's grace, God's given freely. Now, freely you receive, freely give out healing to everybody. Lay hands on people. Speak the kingdom of God's come. Preach, teach, and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Everywhere you go, at work, with your family, on Father's Day, on Mother's Day, in Walmart, in Target, in the grocery store, demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. That God is a good God. He still heals. He still delivers. We're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to believe. No matter what it looks like, Jesus still heals. Chapter 12, verse 22. Just a few more. One was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Spoke and saw. Chapter 15. Just by the way, he was blind and mute, had multiple problems. Multiple? How many know multiple sickness is just no problem for Jesus either? Well, you know, he healed my arthritis, but man, I can't see. Well, come on now. The same God who heals your arthritis, he'll help your eyes. How come he didn't do it at the same time? I don't know. You ask him when you go see him. And then you let me know. No, you can't do that, right? Huh? Because I ain't going to be up there quite yet. Chapter 15, verse 21. We all right, everybody? A little different, but y'all are doing real good. Father's Day. Welcome. Chapter 15, verse 21. Notice what it says.
Jesus went out from there and departed from Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She recognizes who he is. She's a woman of Canaan. She's not a covenant woman. She's not a Jew, but she recognizes who he is. "My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. Whew. Preach that every Sunday. Heaven seemed silent. The disciples urged him and said, "Send her away. She's crying out after us." But Jesus says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," the Jewish people. "And she came and worshipped him." There's another time we see worship. You might want to mark that down. She said, "Lord, help me." And he says this. Wow. "It's not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to little dogs." Now in Bible time, little dogs was a phrase of the Gentiles, those that were outside the covenant of God. "It's not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to little dogs." Jesus is testing the validity of this woman's faith. She doesn't leave when he doesn't answer a word. She doesn't leave when he calls her a dog. Doesn't leave when disciples are saying, "Send her away, put her out." She just stays and persists. And Jesus, the woman then said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus said to them, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I don't need the wonder truck full of bread. I don't need a loaf of bread. I don't need even a slice of bread. All I need is a crumb. And a crumb is enough to get the devil out of my daughter. How much you need? One word. Just speak the word. Just need one word. Amazing. And again, come on, look at verse 28. Is everybody okay today? Huh? Man, you're quiet, but I get it. I get it. A woman, look at verse 28. Come on, say it with me. "Great is your faith." Read this last word. Come on. "Let it be to you as you desire." Come on. "Let it be to you as you desire." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "Let it be to you as you desire." Come on, poke your other neighbor. "Let it be to you as you desire." Come on, get on somebody's nerve. "Let it be to you as you desire." Come on, one more time. "Let it be to you as you desire." Yeah. Yeah. Whose desire? Whose desire? Whose desire? Say, "My desire." Let it be to you as God's desire. God's will is healing. His desire isn't the issue. Let it be to you as you desire. All right. Verse 29. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, went up there on the mountain, sat down there. Great multitudes came to him, having with them lame, blind. Now, Jesus is where? He's on a mountain. Come on, somebody say mountain. Anybody ever been climbed up on a mountain with a maimed person? A lame person? A paralyzed person? I know we have some military brothers and sisters in here. I don't know how y'all do it, but I'm telling you what, I've seen them. I've seen y'all. I mean, like y'all. I mean, where that guy's on the ground, and you got to pick up that 200-pound man that's dead weight. And you get that man up on you and you gotta take him somewhere out of harm's way. They're dragging people. They're carrying people up a mountain. Not down the valley. Not down to have a latte somewhere. Not where there's air conditioning. Up a mountain. Something about just making your way to God causes God to say, "I like that." It's not works generated, it's faith generated in the person. Amen.
to say, you got something I need, and I don't care what it looks like. Come hell or high water, I'm getting to you.
So look what happens here. Man, look, maimed and many others. It says, lame, blind, verse 30. And they laid him down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. The multitude marveled when they saw the mute speak, the maimed made whole, the lame walk, and the blind see, and they glorified God of Israel. Just for sake of time, write down Matthew 17, 14. Write it down, you note takers, Matthew 17, 14. For sake of time, write down Matthew 20, verse 29 through 34. Just write it down, sake of time. Here's the thought I want you to get this morning. If Jesus was here today, this is exactly what he would be doing. He would be preaching, he would be teaching, and he would be healing. That's exactly what he'd be doing. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, come on somebody, today, and forever. Come on, we have it back there? Hebrews 13:8, where'd it go? Come on, read that out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, one more time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he ever was, he is. He is. So if he was a healer, he is a healer. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for you. And if he did it then, he'll do it now. Because he's the same. He's never, ever going to change. Can you say amen? Amen. Write down several more scriptures. I got to go real quick. Come on, you guys are listening slow. But let me read you this. The way, look on the screen here. The way you receive healing for yourself, is that you have to be convinced and persuaded that healing belongs to you. You just have to be convinced. If you're not convinced and persuaded, the chances of you being healed are very, very small. You have a right to healing. You have a right to it. You got to know it. I have a right to it. This belongs to me. I have a right to it. You have to know that it was already paid for by Jesus. It's already been taken care of. It's already been taken care of. That it's included in his sacrificial covenant. Same God that can forgive sins, same God who heals body. You've got to know that. You've got to know that. Several people, we were with some guys in our circle. In fact, we have the best circle out of anybody. Not, we don't teach it, we just go to one. We have by far the best food, by far. We got the best people, by far. No, I don't teach it. I just go to it and hang out. If you're not in a circle, you need to get in a circle because great things are going on in the circles. Come on, anybody in a circle, give a shout out, huh? If you're not in a circle, get to a circle. They'll be out there. Buy a book and find one in your area. They're amazing. So I have no idea. Now I'm going to remember what I'm talking about. Okay. Circle. Oh, we were talking about we've never been on a vacation that's all-inclusive. Anybody ever been on an all-inclusive vacation? Airfare. Only a few of you? I think we ought to do an all-inclusive vacation, huh? Airfare. And we've been kind of sort of on a cruise. A cruise is kind of an all-inclusive vacation. When you pay for the cruise, you get the cabin, and you get all the food you want to eat whenever you want to eat. The only thing you've got to pay for is when you do an excursion outside the boat. But people that go on the same thing, all-inclusive vacations, we were talking to some people down to Cabo or Mazatlan or Cancun, and they go down there and they go in this little compound, and you get the room, and you get the food, and you get amenities, and there's five or six different restaurants, and there's pools, and there's all kind of stuff you get to do. Listen, don't pick and choose. You get it all. It's all paid for. And if it's all paid for, enjoy it. So if a masseuse comes every day, come on, get on my back, man. Come on, masseuse me. If you get toast, you get your stuff all fixed up, pedicure, do it every day. When we went on a cruise, one time, we took the kids, the only time they've ever been on a cruise with the kids, and the boys, Michael and Jude, I don't know how old they were, but anyway, every day, listen, they lived at the pizza buffet place. If you're going to cruise, they serve pizza 24 hours a day almost. And those boys gained about 15 pounds. Let me tell you what, it was amazing. Why? It's there, it's paid for. I said, dude, what are you doing? It's paid for, Dad. I guess you're right. Eat, go ahead. Yeah, whatever. I love that, huh?
Anybody going to the fair? How many know you go to the fair, you're going to go broke? Jesus, help you. $7 for a corn dog. Dear Lord. Okay, here we go. All inclusive, it's done. The gospel, it's all inclusive. Come on, it's all inclusive. It belongs to you. Just enjoy it. And at the end, you get a free t-shirt.
Write down several scriptures. I know I've given you a lot of scriptures today. Forgive me, but I believe it's going to help you. Romans 4:21 speaks of Abram. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But notice this, concerning what you and I have to do with believing. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, God had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. God said, I'm a promiser, and God said, I'm a performer. You don't have to perform anything, and you didn't promise anything, you and me. All we have to do is be fully convinced. I'm fully convinced where I live. You can't talk it out of me. I'm fully convinced the two cars I have, a Toyota Tacoma, a Honda Accord, fully convinced. I'm fully convinced the kind of bike I have, fully convinced. I'm fully convinced I got 4 kids and 3 grandkids, fully convinced. I'm fully convinced I've been married 31 years, right? Fully convinced. Can't talk me out of it. Are you fully convinced concerning God's ability and His power and His Word, hear me, not working for them, but working for you? This is where it gets tough. Because somehow, I think, most of us, God can do it there, but I don't know about here. Because I know my weaknesses, I know my shortcomings, I know my challenges, I know my unbelief, I know my doubts. And Jesus wants you to grow fully convinced and persuaded that He will and He's able to heal you of anything all the time. Look real quick. Jeremiah 1:12. You have seen well, God tells the prophet, I'm ready to perform my word. I'm ready. Amplified says, I'm alert, I'm active, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Anytime the word's working in your life, God says, I want to perform that. Numbers 23:19. God's not a man that he should lie, the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, will he not make it good? The answer is, yes, he will. 1 Kings 8:56. Has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. Not a word has failed. Not a word has failed. So you and I are going to receive what we need to understand. We're going to receive healing, really, we're talking about today, according to our faith, not according to God's ability. Remember that leper? I know you can, but will you? I know you can. I believe in God. Okay, I believe in God. I've solved that. I believe in God. I know you can, but I just don't know if you will for me. The Bible says that we need to come to the place where we have faith in not only the God who forgives sins, but faith in the God who will heal my body. No matter how long it's been, no matter when it started, no matter where it came from, no matter if it's damaged by a car wreck, damaged by something you did, damaged by I was an idiot for years and years and years and I drank and drank and drank and I got liver stuff. Okay, that's the way you were, but now you're a new person. I did drugs and my mind was fried in my back. Okay, I get it, but can't God's grace reverse that? Injected myself with needles, taking heroin, and now I've got something. Can't God now, who forgives sins, heal my body? But now I got to take it from what God will do for somebody else, and I've got to take me away from it. I've just got to believe this will work for me. It'll work for anybody. It's not based on my good works. It's not based on anything besides the finished work, the all-inclusive package of Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death. Somebody said this, a great, great instructor at Rhema College where we went to Bible school. He's still there, named Doug Jones. Great guy. He said there's two sides in order to receive healing. You might want to think about this. There's the God side and the man side. There's the God side and the man side. And he said this, you got to major on the God side because it'll make the man side easier. You got to major on the God side. It'll make the man side easier.
I think we try to work ourselves up. Work. I believe. I want to get there. No. Major on God's goodness, on His love, on His grace, on His compassion for you. If you'll major on that, it'll make you believing and receiving so much easier. But the truth is, you can't be ignorant of either side. You've got to know about the God side, what He's done, but you also have to know about your side, which is, I need to believe. And I must then have faith in what the Word of God says. Faith is an action. I believe, so I have an action. Hebrews 11:6 says this. You know the Scripture. I'm not probably reading too many Scriptures you haven't thought about before, maybe a lot of you. It says, but without faith, let's read this out loud. Come on, 1, 2, 3. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Two things are necessary, it tells us here, that we must, number one, believe that God is. That He is concerning what we're talking about right now. He is a healer. You got to believe that. If you don't believe that He's a healer, chances of you getting healed are very minimal. Very minimal. It might be, I'll just say it that way. It'd be too difficult to get into right now about how you possibly could get healed. But I'm specifically talking about you and your faith, you personally, yourself, growing to a level that you believe that God will heal you. It says here, it's impossible to please Him without faith. Without faith, it's impossible. It's just impossible. You're not going to receive anything from God apart from faith. Anybody who came to God must believe that He was a rewarder of them, whatever they needed. And many, what we read this morning, of course, was specifically along the lines of healing. So we, number one, have to believe that He's a healer. And then number two, that He is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Look what it says in the Message Bible. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Notice that. He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. He's not too busy. He's not that far away. His compassions are new every morning. The Scripture says, great is His faithfulness. If He ever healed anybody, He wants to heal you. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter how long you're dealing with, no matter if it's a fever, no matter if it's just a thing that kind of comes and that goes, He wants it to go and not come back. Or if it's a lifelong degenerative thing, whatever it is, Jesus wants you to know that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Anybody in the Gospels who came to Jesus, listen again, anybody, I challenge you to find anybody recorded otherwise. Anybody who came got exactly what they came for. Anybody, whosoever. He cares enough to respond to you. I want to challenge you this week, next week. We'll talk about some things from this Old Testament chapter in Isaiah that Matthew talked about, Isaiah 53. I want to challenge you to come again next week as we just kind of break some stuff down concerning healing. We'll read some other accounts. And then the following week, July 5th weekend, in the morning, Sunday morning, a special meeting Sunday night where Jay Hoskins is going to be ministering along the healing line. Listen, he has a gift of healing in his ministry. He's an evangelist. And so he's got signs and wonders with that gifting office that the Bible says in Ephesians 4 was given by Jesus. I implore you to come if you're facing anything in your body and family or friends and loved ones that are in serious situations. And we're just going to believe God that Jesus is going to manifest His presence here and heal bodies. So be encouraged in the next several weeks. Quit studying your problem. Quit diagnosing your problem. Quit looking at all what's not happening. And let's get our eyes refocused on what the Word of God says and what His purpose is, not only to forgive sins, but to heal bodies. And let's let our faith rise and let's see Jesus work in your body. Can you say amen? Amen. Stay right there. Sit down while you're sitting. Just maybe put your hands out in front of you. Father God, today we just thank You that You care enough to respond to us. Father, I thank You. It doesn't make a difference what it looks like right now. We just release faith today in Jesus Christ's name. Father, in our lives, in our situations, I just pray that faith would rise in our hearts and that You today, Lord God, will begin working the perfect work of healing in people's bodies. Spirits are made alive and reborn by Your Word when people ask You, Jesus, to come into their hearts. And dead spirits are made alive. Dark spirits are brought to light. Faith comes, and we believe that we'll spend eternity with God and with our loved ones. But the same sacrifice was given that would bring healing to our bodies. And so we thank You today that You care enough to respond. You care enough. And so today, we'll just make up our mind. We're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to walk with You through the Word. We're going to stay close to You. Regardless of how many times it looks like You've stopped or it looks like nothing's happening. I just pray for our congregation right now, Father, as their hands are out and their faith is up toward You. That they won't grow restless, they won't grow frustrated, they won't grow disheartened. But Father, today, as faith rises in their hearts again, they're going to make their way continually to Jesus. And healing and victory and deliverance is going to be manifested in their lives. No matter where it's come from, no matter how long they've had it, Jesus healed them all. And You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank You for it. Thank You for it. Come on, just somebody help me. Thank You for it. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for healing my body. Thank You for healing my body. Thank You for healing my body. I receive healing in my body. Come on, just say that. I receive healing in my body. I release faith. I believe. I receive healing in my body. I receive it this morning, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe you're going to start seeing change. I believe you're going to start seeing change. And again, I want to encourage you, come next week. Let feed your faith.